Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'd like for you to open your Bibles to John chapter 15. This is part of a wonderful series of material that all is tied together, and I urge you to read the whole thing. Don't just look at chapter 15 today, but our focus today is in chapter 15. And again, let us give ear to God's word. Jesus is speaking. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produces much fruit, because you can do nothing without me. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch, and he withers. They gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you want and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my command. Love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything I've heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. This is what I command you. Love one another. If the world hates you, understand that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. However, because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of it, the world hates you. Remember the word I spoke to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they don't know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now they have no excuse for their sin. The one who hates me also hates my Father. If I had not done the works among them that no one else has done, they would not have sin. Now, They have seen and hated both me and my Father. But this happened so that the statement written in their law might be fulfilled. They hated me for no reason. When the Counselor comes, the one I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. You also will testify because you've been with me from the beginning. May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. My father was a pastor, but he grew up on a citrus grove in Florida. And he and his dad worked 40 acres of citrus trees, mostly oranges, but they had grapefruit and various other things. And dad learned a lot in that environment, a lot about work, but also a lot about how to care for plants, trees in particular. He wasn't a professional arborist, but he learned how to care for the citrus trees. When I was in elementary school, Dad was pastoring a church in Charlotte, North Carolina. It was a really interesting situation. I will not go into detail this morning, but let's just say at age 59, Dad retired, not because he'd saved up a bunch, but because that last church finished him off. Some very lovely, dysfunctional people. And it was just absolutely draining and challenging. And despite that, I mean, there was some growth. They had a lot of missions outreach and so forth. But I mean, it was exhausting, okay? And Dad didn't have a nervous breakdown in his 50s. He retired instead. So one day, we came home to the church-owned parsonage, and the beautiful tree in the front yard that was a crabapple, as I recall, which normally in the spring was just filled with blossoms and a very lovely, shapely tree. We came home, and Dad had been working on the tree. And he had gotten up in the tree with a saw, and he had removed most of the tree. It was just inconceivable to us. It was like, what happened? Surely an enemy has done this. You know, we couldn't understand. And Dad said, I pruned the tree. And we thought, he's lost his mind. He has come home and taken out all his aggressions with a saw on this poor tree that, I mean, we really loved. And Dad said, I know what I'm doing. And we looked at it, and the absolutely a unanimous consensus of my mother and the children was that Dad did not know what he was doing and wasn't willing to admit that he had gone too far. Now, the following spring, the tree was by far more beautiful than it had ever been. Dad had not injured the tree at all. He did know what he was doing. He not only knew how to cut the tree, but when to cut the tree, where to cut the tree. I mean, just he knew what he was doing. But to those of us looking at the process and at the short-term results, it seemed as if Dad had lost his mind. The first thing that I want you to see in verses 1 through 3 in this passage is you and I need to be anticipating getting cut. Now, if you've been on an athletic team, the term getting cut is not a term you want to hear. Because to be cut means that you're just no longer part of the group. Well, there's some of that in these first three verses. Those branches that don't bear fruit will be removed. I am the vine, the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Every branch in me that does not produce fruit, he removes. And he prunes every branch that produces fruit so that it will produce more fruit. You're already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me and I in you. Now, if you're an unfruitful branch, you're going to get cut off and burned in the fire, according to Jesus. So I don't want to be an unfruitful branch. Amen? I want to be a fruitful branch. So what can I anticipate if I am a fruitful branch? I will get cut, not cut off, but cut back. I will be pruned. Jesus promises that. Now, this is not one of the promises that most of us want to put up on our wall. But Jesus promises that those who are fruitful will get cut. Not cut off, but cut back. It's not optional. The question is, what kind of cutting are you going to experience? Is it a cutting off or is it a cutting back? In either case, you're going to get cut. And if you make your objective avoiding the knife, you will be unfruitful. If your goal is to try and make sure that you'd never get cut, you're going to be unfruitful and you're going to be cut off. But if your goal is to abide in him, you will produce fruit, and when you're cut, it will be so that you might produce more fruit. It will be for your good and the good of others. God is not cruel, and God is not crazy, even though sometimes when we see what God does, it looks to us as if that was a bad idea. No, God is sovereignly working out what is best. Well, it hurts. Oh, yeah, getting cut hurts. But God knows what he's up to. And he is at work for his glory and our good. Now, I don't suggest you run out and tell everybody else that when they're in the midst of crisis. Hey, just remember Romans 8:28. Probably not the best thing to say. But when you're getting in a tough spot, it would be a good thing for you to remember. It's something we need to tell ourselves when we're going through hardship.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. Each one is unique, but all of them are ours. In our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a few moments to encourage us. I want to ask you to do 3 things, in fact. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, and learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we will remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread his word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We are depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
So the first point here, verses 1 through 3, expect to be cut, either pruning or removal. Okay, well, how do we get in the pruning group as opposed to the cut off and burned group? The answer to that question is in verses 4 through 17. If you want to be pruned rather than burned, you need to be fruitful. And the way to be fruitful is to abide in Christ. Remain in me, verse 4, and I in you. Just as a branch is unable to produce fruit by itself unless it remains on the vine, neither can you unless you remain in me. And so in these verses, 4 through 17, Jesus gives us a number of statements about what it looks like to abide in him, to remain in him. The first point is very obvious, but sometimes overlooked, and that is the focus is on our relationship with him. Okay? I want to ask you, as I have so many times, do you know him? Not just know about him, do you know him? Are you trusting in him? Or are you trusting in the things you're doing? Boy, I'm trying really hard to be fruitful over here. Well, you can't do anything apart from him. It's not just you can't maximize fruitfulness apart from Christ. You can't produce anything. But if instead we trust in him, we recognize our utter dependence on him, then his life being manifested, that's how fruit grows. It's not applied to the outside of the tree. It grows from the life within. So, Jesus says in this section, let his word remain in you. Then he says, remain in his love by walking in obedience to his word. Now that sounds to some of us like that's not good theology. It sounds as if he's saying that his love for us is conditional. I love you if you're obedient. I don't think that's the best understanding of this. Well, what does this mean? His word is an expression of his love. If we believe him, trust him, then doing what he says is walking in his word because his word is love. What he's telling us is for our good. When a child is told, don't touch that or you'll get burned, that is an expression of parental love. Well, now, why, if we touch it and get burned, would we then think that, I guess, my parents don't love me? Or they'll only love me if I don't touch that? That's not what is being said. What is being said is, this is my word. You want to abide in my love? You want to experience my love and have my life and my power at work in and through you? Then do what I say. Do you trust me or not? If we are in him, we're trusting him, not depending on ourselves. We're depending on him. And so when he says do this, we believe him because we know he's not out to hurt us. Even when he prunes us, it's not because he wants to hurt us. It's because he loves us and he wants us to experience in a greater way the fullness of his love and his power, bearing fruit that will last for eternity. That's God's plan. And it is a kind plan. It is a gracious plan. It is an amazing thing that God would choose to manifest his love through us. So because his word is the expression of his love for us, Jesus tells us that we remain in his love by walking in obedience to his word. And then, well, okay, if I'm to obey his word, what is he asking of me? What is he commanding? His command is that we love one another. Well, generally speaking, I like that. But I don't know, you may not have encountered this, but some people are harder to love than others. Have you ever run into anybody who's just kind of hard to love. But do you realize that love is not about our feelings for somebody? It's about how we treat them. It's about what we do. What does it look like? Well, it's sacrificial. He says, greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. And I want you to lay down your life in the service of others as an expression of my love. That's what we're called to. And that is what produces fruit that will remain for eternity. Then, in verses 18 through 25, Jesus tells us, again, returning to this subject of suffering with which the chapter opens, that if we live this kind of life, it's going to be costly. There's going to be rejection. There's going to be persecution. It's happening around the world. We live in a bubble here, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot of people in this country right now that are cranking up the heat. Their contempt for Christianity is becoming more and more evident. Their hostility toward anybody who doesn't adopt the party line is becoming more and more obvious. Should we be nervous? No. But you better get ready to be cut. Knowing that if God puts us through what many of our brothers and sisters around the world have been going through for a long time, it isn't because he's forgotten us. It isn't because he's abandoned us. It is because we're being pruned. When you and I go through suffering, we need to realize this isn't something that Jesus doesn't deal with or that he didn't warn us about. He tells us to expect it. And we should expect not just to experience the pain that comes with living in a fallen world, but we should experience, as we are fruitful for the Lord, opposition. And when our brothers and sisters in other places are suffering persecution, if you don't feel that pain, you better check and see if you're connected to the vine. Because the Bible says when one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffers. So Jesus says we should expect that. And the last verses here, beginning in verse 26, really belong with the chapter that, God willing, we'll be looking at next week. It really flows on into chapter 16, talking about the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to dwell on it this morning, but I'm really glad that it's here in chapter 15, because what it makes clear is that the way this all becomes possible, the way that this works, is that God sends his Holy Spirit to live the life of Christ in and through us. As Jesus says at the start of this, unless you abide in me, you're not going to bear fruit. So he doesn't just say, good luck with that. He says this relationship is empowered by his presence in us. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so we're not left on our own here with an instruction manual. All right? You need to love one another. Here's how it'll happen. I'll come, person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the risen Christ, and I will live my life in and through you. I will empower you to serve others in a sacrificial way. All of us are going to be called to do things in this life that are the expression of God's love. But it's not the expression of our natural feelings. What God promises is that he will live that life of love through us as we depend upon him and yield our lives to him, walking in obedience to His Word.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.